DW Africa Link.
Health is wealth. He who has good health has hope. And he who has hope has everything. So what happens when you can't afford or access proper healthcare in your own country? It is easier for the rich, of course, but even they sometimes have to seek medical care abroad. The death of former Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari in a London clinic has reignited a pressing question. Why do African leaders seek medical care abroad? And it's not just about African leaders. Across the continent, many Kenyans are heading to India. And so the wave of medical tourism continues. So what's driving this exodus? And what does it reveal about the state of healthcare across the continent and how to fix it? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr. And you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
In 2024, Nigeria allocated only 4-5% of its national budget to healthcare. This is an improvement, but it's still far below the 15% target set by 2001 Abuja Declaration and backed by the UN for adequate care. This situation demands our immediate attention. So let's delve into this with Jamila Atiku, a researcher on public health in Nigeria, and Andrew Wasike, DW correspondent in Nairobi, Kenya. Hello and welcome to Africa Link, both of you. Jamila, how would you describe the current state of healthcare in Nigeria?
Thank you, Eddie. The current state of healthcare in Nigeria is deeply concerning. Now, currently, healthcare services in Nigeria is like a luxury. Many Nigerians are struggling to even afford healthcare services. And this doesn't even affect just the politicians it doesn't just affect the locals. It also affects the politicians to an extent. And the challenge is general. And Nigeria, as of late, is ranked as the highest, with maternal mortality rate compared to other countries with other infectious diseases. So the problem or the concerns are deeply rooted, and it's because of infrastructure, underfunded system, the governments, the policies that are put in place, because distribution of funds annually is not really made in such a way that the health sector is put into consideration. For years, the healthcare allocation in the budget, annual budget, is about 4-6%, and that's totally not right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And compared.
Go ahead.
Okay. And then I said the annual budget normally is supposed to be 15%. That's what was discussed in the African Union. They recommended a minimum of 15% of the annual budget of every country. But Nigeria have been fluctuating between 4-6% of the annual budget. That's what is allocated to the health sector.
Right. I mean, you really hit the nail on the head there. Not just the African Union, the World Health Organization expect that every country would allocate 15% of its national budget every year for health care. And Nigeria, between 4-6, is way below that 15%. As a matter of fact, across Africa, it's just about 2 countries that meet the required 15%. I believe that is South Africa and Cape Verde.
Yes, the infrastructure is a problem, because when you go to health facilities, you hardly get clean water. There's electricity outage. There are no drugs and no functioning medical equipment most times. And for the doctors or health professionals, as the case is, most of the health professionals are even leaving the country.
Right. We'll definitely touch on that in a bit. Not just people seeking healthcare abroad, but even those that are supposed to give that healthcare in Nigeria are leaving the country. But I want to touch on something before that. In Nigeria, like many other African countries, you know, there's the public healthcare system, and then there's a private hospitals or clinics also, right? Isn't it the case in Nigeria that these private ones are much more well equipped and have all their required infrastructure to deal with a lot of health issues? Or even for the private, are you saying there's a challenge there too?
Most of the private hospitals are equipped to an extent, but still at that, they are not highly equipped as it should be. And the prices are expensive. People can't afford that.
Right.
And the hospitals are always overcrowded. Like I said, electricity, power outage, drug shortage, all those. So even in private hospitals, they are not well equipped. And if they are well equipped, they are extremely expensive.
The other challenge is that doctors and nurses or health workers are also leaving Nigeria for abroad. Tell us more about that.
This immigration thing has been an ongoing thing. It just got intensified in 2010, I think, to 2020, and is as a result of low salary. The health professionals are not considered most times when it comes to salary, and they don't get bonuses.
Andrew, you've been listening in, and you know, that's the state in Nigeria. What's the situation in Kenya? And what's this I'm hearing about many Kenyans moving to India? For what? Why India? What's going on?
Thank you very much, Eddie. It's incredibly difficult to get quality healthcare services here in Kenya, especially if you are relying on public healthcare. I had you ask Atiku about public and private. So there are long queues, and most hospitals are either understaffed or under-equipped. So it is almost the same problem that is in Nigeria. But yes, it's true that many people are traveling abroad for treatment. India has become the go-to destination, not just for elite politicians, but even for middle-class Kenyans or just people who are looking for life-saving care. And you asked why? It's basically because it's more affordable to be treated in India than it is to be treated here in Kenya, because they have got high-end hospitals and the service is faster and more efficient. If you are here in Kenya and you want to get treatment, you don't have a good insurance, be ready for long queues, you know, and there's competition for healthcare services because we have not invested in infrastructure that can rival India or even get anywhere close to India. This is why many people are leaving Kenya and traveling for medical tourism in India.
Right. It's clear that many African countries need much more support when it comes to the healthcare system. But is there any evidence that the government is taking it seriously as it should, Andrew?
Here in Kenya, I don't think there is any evidence that the government is focusing on this. The government is focusing on other things. They are focusing on roads. Right now, they have got a housing project that is all across Kenya. And this is their focus. They don't care about universal health coverage. I think it's called USC. You know, they were meant to, they said when they were coming in, this current government under President William Ruto, they say that they will overhaul the system. But so far, the impact has been very, very limited. There has been poor communication between ministries. They actually tied it also to some logistical issues. Eddie, every single month, even right now, I think it was like last week, doctors are always on the streets protesting. Healthcare workers just went on strike, and I think it was on Saturday. This is over pay and working conditions. Let's put aside pay. Eddie, whenever these guys go on the streets to protest, they are protesting because they are saying the hospitals are ill-equipped. even for basic things like just a blood test. Mm. So we've got a policy that looks good on paper, if you're not from Kenya, but the implementation has been messy from top down. So the government hasn't addressed any of the core issues that the doctors have been protesting about, like equipment, staffing, and the trust in the system. So I don't know how it is in Nigeria, but that is Kenya, Eddie.
Right. That brings us straight to you, Jamila. Is there any sense that Nigeria is taking this more seriously?
They are more concerned about road infrastructure. They are concerned about that. The health sector or the healthcare system is not really put into consideration. Most doctors or healthcare professionals are going on strike because they are underpaid. And this has been an ongoing issue for quite some time now. Now imagine in 2024, the national budget was proposed at approximately 21.8 trillion. And then it was just 1.1 trillion that was allocated to the health sector. So the health sector is not really put into consideration. They are concerned about road and housing and I think a bit of light. But health is really pushed down to the bottom.
Jamila Atiku, researcher on public health in Nigeria, and Andrew Waseke, DW correspondent in Nairobi, Kenya. Thanks to you both. Now, how about we hear more from someone in government? Are they feeling the plight of the people? How are they attempting to rectify the situation? Dr. Isiak Adekunle Salako is the Nigerian Minister of State for Health and Social Welfare. Hello, sir. Welcome to Africa Link. Now, in your assessment, what is the current state of healthcare in Nigeria?
Well, I think that generally speaking, the state of the health sector in Nigeria is better organized. There is increasing level of integration of services. We are expanding infrastructure. We still have a lot of challenge around human resources for health, but government has taken a deliberate decision to, one, increase production of health workers by expanding the space for training, and also using technology, telemedicine, digital interface to also harness contribution of Nigeria healthcare professionals in diaspora so that they can also support what is going on here.
Right. So you're talking about things that you believe your government is doing to make it better. That suggests that there's an issue or there's a problem that needs a solution to, right? Because you can understand why people keep hearing this and then they look at the situation on the ground and it baffles their mind. I mean, we're also talking about even key personalities like former presidents. Recently, unfortunately, the passing away of former Nigerian president Muhammadu Buhari. And, you know, he had to seek treatment in a clinic in London, right? And then that's not the first of its kind. Many key personalities go outside Nigeria to seek help. Why is that? Is it just because the health system is just not good enough, or what's going on in your opinion?
There was an extensive research that was done some times ago. I cannot remember when it was published in peer-reviewed journals, an European journal, that looked at the drivers of medical tourism, including in Nigeria. And one key driver that was identified is cultural, and also the desire for confidentiality and being able to secure the information and avoid the level of illness or the kind of illness that you have or that you are even ill getting into the public domain. Yes, as public officials, one will say ordinarily, the health state of public officials should be known to the public. But if you look at the cultural context of us as Africans, Africans generally, culturally, unlike maybe Europeans or Americans, do not share their health issues publicly.
So you're saying that some of these people sought healthcare somewhere because of privacy? Is that your
yes? It's a major driver of especially when it comes to public office holders. It's a major driver of going outside the country for healthcare.
So it's not because the system needs almost some sort of a reboot. It's not because there's little funding in Nigeria's healthcare system, because that seems to be the case. As of 2024, Nigeria spends just about 4%, or sometimes between 4 to 6% of its budget on healthcare, and that's far below the UN's recommended 15%. So there is clearly an issue that Nigeria is not spending enough on its healthcare system, isn't it?
Well, definitely I agree with you. There's room for improvement in terms of funding for the health sector. But I must also tell you that there's no health system in the world that is 100% perfect. I'm sure you know that if you go to the UK today and you look at the NHS system, the kind of challenges that they are facing, if you go to even the United States of America, the level of costs to get healthcare. So no system, healthcare system, is 100% perfect. We can improve our funding. But one important element you must also take cognizance of. Most of the time, when people go out for medical tourism, they go for private facilities, most of the time. And if you look at Nigeria today, you will see a lot of first-class private healthcare facilities that can actually provide care, comprehensive care in virtually all specialties.
Right. One thing we can definitely all agree on is that much, much, much more needs to be done, right? Because it's such a, I dare say, such a bad situation that little steps don't really move it. We can argue and say that, okay, it will take a while for these steps to actually hit. Some of the steps that you are mentioning, in some investment in both public and private, okay. But as of 2024, this is according to Nigeria Health Watch, it says that only 20% of Nigeria's primary healthcare facilities are fully functional and that they do not meet the minimum per capita amount of doctors a healthy society needs, right? Something you probably also mentioned, the fact that there's not enough health personnel, right? And why are there not enough health personnel? Because it's just not getting the much needed support. You talk to a lot of health experts, that's what they tell you. It's not getting the much needed support, right? So I guess the point is, what is your government trying to do to change the current situation? And how long do you expect it to take?
The policy of the President Bola Ahmed Tinubu-led government is to see healthcare as an investment in the people. And once you see healthcare as an investment of people, it therefore means that you expect that once you invest in the health of the people, there will be ultimately be some returns to the country, to the economy. And to that extent, you will see that health is a priority. In the 2025 budget, for example, health is one of the third most funded sector of the economy within the public sector. So that's an indication that health system and healthcare is receiving priority in the country, including particularly at the primary healthcare level. Well, I agree with you that we still need to do a lot, but clearly, we are headed in the right direction. The problem is well identified, you know, and we are diligently and deliberately implementing those solutions, ensuring, for example, there's a target to ensure that by 2027, at least 17,000 primary healthcare facilities in Nigeria have been upgraded to level 2, which means that they have enough manpower, they're able to provide emergency obstetric care and so on and so forth. They're supported with ambulance, they're supported with blood transfusion and so on and so forth. So that is the direction that government is going. So we are headed in the right direction. We have identified the problem, the solutions have been provided, and we're headed in the direction in implementing those solutions.
You've also been a key proponent of, you know, using data and AI, digitization, as I've mentioned. And you believe that this will help solve the current issues and, quote, reverse the direction of medical tourism from outbound to inbound. how will AI and digitalization help reverse medical tourism to rather bring people into Nigeria instead of doctors and nurses leaving the country?
You know that one of the other key drivers of medical tourism is the quality of care. And when you introduce digital mechanisms that enhances better monitoring, better stewardship, more transparency, you tend to also get better quality of care. For example, you can improve patient waiting time. You can also more transparently assess the level of impact of each practitioner that is working out there. And you'll be able to say, okay, this person is able to do this much, and also reward performance based on improved monitoring schemes. More importantly, once you also introduce digitalization, you also close the physical gap. A lot of people can actually receive care without not necessarily being physically present with their caregiver using technology. So using this kind of mechanism, we strongly believe that clearly, and of course, it's been proven everywhere in the world that when you digitalize, it tends to improve the quality of care that you are going to be able to get,
right?
Because the boundaries are reduced. People are able, you are able to reach people faster. For example, you don't need to necessarily visit an hospital where you are registered to take care. You can visit any hospital in the world once it's digitalized and the records are digitalized. So those kind of things will definitely drive inbound medical tourism.
Right. You also said Nigeria should be aiming to service the entire West Africa region. From all the challenges Nigeria itself is facing, I really don't see how feasible that is. Very optimistic, to say the least. But realistically, when could this even be accomplished? And when you say, you know, Nigeria should service the entire West African region, what would that even look like?
Well, actually, when you say Nigeria servicing the entire West African region, it does not really mean that all the healthcare issues, all the healthcare need of West Africa is going to be delivered by Nigeria. No, that's not what it means. What we said is that we want Nigeria to become a hub for medical tourism in West Africa. So, which means that people in West Africa, West Africans who cannot get some kind of care in their countries, will start looking towards Nigeria as the go-to place to get such kind of care.
Right, right. I guess the whole point is to, you know, while we have these very wild ambitions, to ensure that seeking health care in your own country shouldn't be too expensive, that it's easily accessible also. And I think that is a challenge for many. And you're right, yes, economic reasons help people decide if they want to leave the country or not. And this is what, to some extent, should not be, you know, allowed on a very large scale, because then the country loses a lot of, you know, untapped brains and minds, right? People also leave, right? Because they don't feel like a lot of investment is being put into the health system. So Nigeria, for instance, could have a very strong economy. And if they don't put at least 15% or more of the national budget into healthcare, then we are facing the same challenge. So it's really a lot about government policy, what the government decides to do, and how important the government sees healthcare in the country. But I really do appreciate all that you've discussed with us. I think we'll definitely speak again soon, I hope, and look at where, you know, Nigeria is in the next few years. Now it's really challenging on the ground. People are suffering, as you will know even more. But as you say, you're making some steps in the right direction. So we really hope that it turns out really well. Dr. Isiaq Adekunle Salako, Nigerian Minister of State for Health and Social Welfare, many thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Isiaq Adekunle Salako, Nigerian Minister of State for Health and Social Welfare, thanks a lot for your time. There is clearly much more room for improvement. The Nigerian Medical Association accused the government of exporting doctors while undermining their welfare. while Nigerian doctors are grappling with systemic neglect, poor salaries, with health allowances, and so on. So what do you think? We want to hear from you, so share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. And hey, don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening and for being part of the conversation.
DW, made for minds.